This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show, a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
All right, man. What do we got? One more day.
Yeah. 2024 is almost over.
And man, it's an unbelievable thing. Sandy and I were talking about this the other day. Man, we're a quarter into the 21st century. And you know, it's just time waits for there was an old song that came out. I got to find it. And it's a Motown Monday, so I'm going to find it. And it says, and I forgot who made it, but it's time waits for no one. It keeps moving on somehow. And then the rest of it was, if you ever give this love a chance, do it right now. But time waits for no one. And man, it's hard to believe, almost a quarter into the 21st century. But anyway, it's Motown Monday. Got a great show lined up for you this morning. We await, actually, my first guest, who is a cardiac surgeon with Frederick Hospital here in Milwaukee. And so we're going to have him on. His name is Dr. Jorge Cecito, and he is the Director of Heart and Vascular Services for Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin. And so we're going to be talking about something that really is kind of amazing, the uptick in cardiac events during the winter holiday season. More people die from December 25th through January 1st than any other time of the year from cardiac arrest. And that's a pretty amazing statistic. And, you know, why and what's going on, Calvin, between January 1st, December 25th and January 1st, obviously the holiday, excitement and energy and probably a lot more food than people normally take in, you know, consuming, probably more alcohol than we normally do. But we're going to have a discussion with Dr. Cecito shortly, so I'm excited about that. In hour two, we're going to be joined by Alan Borsick. He is with Marquette University Law School. He's a renowned Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Award winner that focuses on education. And then I'm going to be filling in for Maggie Dawn this afternoon. And so I'll be back in the 2 o'clock hour, and I will certainly spend some time talking about a man that I have the utmost respect for and have had as long as I knew about him and the things that I read about him. And that's the former president of the United States, Jimmy Carter, who finally, after 100 years, can rest. He certainly, during the time he was here, did a great service. And as a person who understands the importance of serving, he was one of the greatest in that realm. So really excited about, you know, doing Maggie's show this afternoon, but I'm even more excited about my show this morning and all the different things that we're going to be talking about. So Calvin, so you saw the show. I mean, the Packers. You saw a little bit of the Packers.
Yeah, I saw the end. I saw that we weren't able to get that last stop to get the ball back.
Well, you know, it was, it was a great game, man. Listen, I saw what I would consider one of the greatest football games that I had ever seen. And when you, an old goat like me, that's saying a lot. But it was on Saturday evening. And it was the Buffalo Bills, and it was the, no, it might not have been the Buffalo Bills. It was the, well, see, this is what I mean by being an old goat. It was the Cincinnati Bengals. And I don't know, it might have been the Buffalo Bills, but man. It was a great, great game. And, you know, this is the time of year when football is at its best. And, you know, no question whatsoever, the best sport anywhere in the country, in the world. There's a reason why so many people watch it. There's a reason why it's so prominent. When you find a top-of-the-line, the excitement football game, pro football game, man, nothing better. But anyway, while we await my guess, I wonder why, you know, so many people have these heart attacks during the holiday season. It's really an amazing thing. I was paging through this. Heart attack deaths more likely during the winter holiday season than any other time. That's according to the American Heart Association, and it suggests ways to prepare for heart-healthy holidays in order to avoid heart attacks. I don't know. There it is, Bengals and the Broncos. There you go, Tony. Thank you, man. Yeah, thank you, Tony. Yeah, it was... That game was the Bengals and the Broncos, man. One of the greatest games and most exciting games that I've seen in a long, long time. But anyway, scientific research over time has shown an uptick in cardiac events during the winter holiday seasons, and more people die from heart attacks between December 25th and January 1st than any other time of the year. The American Heart Association, the world's leading nonprofit organization focused on heart and brain health for all, and has tips and resources to help you and yours have a happy, healthy holiday season. Now, as a guy who, you know, my heart is, you know, as far as I know, you know, I have a cardiologist. And I had a stent maybe 12, 13 years ago. And I never thought I had a problem with my heart. Well, some might say, well, you couldn't have a problem with your heart, Earl, because you would have to have one first, Calvin, for you to have a problem with it. But so I had this palpitation, and I remember, I don't know, it's been a long time ago that I had a stent. But since that time, I have not had problems at all with my heart. You know, I went and got checked out you know, maybe a month or so ago. I see my cardiologist once a year, And at my age, they tell me that that's pretty good. But I'll tell you, I understand the importance of being here. I don't mean on the radio. I mean, man, still being a part of this thing called life. And if you don't take care of yourself, if you take it for granted, there's always the chance that you might not be around long. Let's bring Al on. We're going to get the doctor on in the next segment. Hey, Al, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right.
You talking about all these people dying from heart attacks. They too busy out here ho-ho-hoing.
Hey, man, come on, man. Come on, because, you know, a person could, you know, see that from a different perspective, you know.
Well, from December 25th.
Oh, yeah, man, to January 1st. And you know, the fact that people, you know, Al, get so caught up. And, you know, man, you certainly we overeat. People overdrink, and this is just a warning, which is what the doctor, the cardiologist, is going to give us about signs that you should look for, and even the people who you have with you, your loved ones, maybe they can't say it, but, you know, you and I are at that point, man, where it can happen at any time.
You at that point, I'm still 29. the issue is stress, and you got to understand. See, during this time of the year, it's cold. People don't know how to dress properly. They got to shovel snow and deal with all of that, and the travel issues are greater. So there's a lot more stress during these times, and too many people sit around and do nothing. They don't exercise.
Well, you
they
know, that's one of the major keys. 855-752-4842. When we come back, we are going to be joined by Dr. Jorge Sicedo. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, welcome to back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And again, shortly we'll be joined by Dr. Jorge Sicedo. He is with the Medical College of Wisconsin, and he is the director of Heart and Vascular Services for Frederick and a Medical College of Wisconsin. Now, when we were talking about, you know, the fact that This time of year between December 25th and January 1st, but people are more susceptible to heart attacks than any other time of the year. And so it's important that even though we are, you know, it may not be you, but you've got friends and family over, and there are signs and things that you should be looking for as it relates to, you know, what could be happening to your loved one. And some of the signs: know the symptoms and take action. Heart attack signs may vary in men and women, and it's important to catch them early and call 911 for help. The sooner medical treatment begins, the better the chances of survival and preventing heart damage occurs. All right, we are joined by the chief of cardiovascular medicine at Frederick and Milwaukee College of Wisconsin, Dr. Jorge Sucedo. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Doing good, Earl. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Sorry about the mix-up, but, you know, technology is what it is. So why between December 25th and January 1st? I got some ideas. People are celebrating in many ways, overindulging in food, overindulging in beverage. And why is that particular period of time so impactful as it relates to heart attacks?
You're absolutely right. You know, the 3 days of the year where it has been documented that heart attacks increase in frequency are Christmas Day, 25th December, and the day after Christmas, December 26th, and then January 1st. And it is, I think, in part exactly what you just said, right? We indulge ourselves with more alcohol, more unhealthy meals. But I think there is also an issue of stress, right, related to it. Not everybody has these very warm holidays where all is fun. There is just time of stress often amongst family members, friends, you know, remembering those that have left and sad times, etc. So I think there is a confluence of factors that involve our habits, but also stresses around the holidays per se and our experiences.
Doctor, how much of it is the fact that people haven't done their due diligence in taking care of themselves throughout the year and are more susceptible at that time of the year because they haven't done much in the way of preventative?
That also plays a role, absolutely, Earl. And, you know, we see that often, you know, in winter months where, you know, we have these snowfalls and people that have not exercised, that have not taken care of themselves, then they go out and start shoveling snow. And that's a very well-documented risk for people to, you know, to have heart attacks. There are a bunch of things that happen inside. You know, blood pressure goes up. And when that happens, those people that have cholesterol plaques that have built up in the arteries, which is actually, believe it or not, at least half of the people that are 50 years of age or older, you know, some of those plaques can rupture because of the high blood pressure, the stress and whatnot. And when those plaques of cholesterol rupture, a clot builds on top of those plaques and occludes the pass of blood, the flow of blood into the heart. So people that exercise, people who have good control of their blood pressure, of their cholesterol, etc., are way less susceptible of getting heart attacks during the exercise, winter months, stressful times.
You know, the really horrific part about this is during the holidays, you've got people over, or you're over people's homes that you love, and probably, you know, I'm 70 years old, so I'm sure there are people who have aged probably, and they're excited about all these kinds of things. It's a good time for us to recognize signs in them. Is it safe to say that we could really make a difference in recognizing signs in others?
So, you know, what I more strongly focus our attention would be actually, Earl, on preventing the heart attacks, because once the heart attack occurs, you know, yeah, sure, we can identify those symptoms, but unfortunately, many people die suddenly or have massive heart attacks very rapidly with those symptoms. Yes, we can do something to prevent them from dying or having a better chances of surviving a big heart attack. And, you know, the typical shortness of breath in the elderly, actually shortness of breath is a bigger manifest than chest pain, jaw discomfort, upper back discomfort when walking, etc. But again, most people, what happens is a rapid symptom that leads to a heart attack.
So, Dr., hang on. I'm joined by Dr. Jorge Saucedo, and he is the Director of Heart and Vascular Services for Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin and Healing Network. 855-752-4842. You can join the conversation on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. Nothing you can take and tear me away from my God. Nothing you could do, cause I'm stuck like glue to my God. I'm sticking to my God like a snail.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As promised, I'm joined by Dr. Jorge Saucedo. He is the Director of Health and Vascular Services for Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin and Healing Network. And he's here to talk about the fact that between December 25th and January 1st, so many people are susceptible to heart attacks. So, you know, Dr. Saucedo, you were saying before, you know, we went on break, that preventative care, you know. So I as I said to you before, I'm 70 years of age. I take a couple meds, a high blood pressure med, and I certainly take something for building up plaque and those kinds of things. I don't ever forget to take my medicine. I don't care how good I feel. I understand why, you know, at my age, that I'm able to continue to move and do the things that I do. I am active. But if you don't do those things, is there a certain age or a certain time, Dr. Saucedo, that we should begin finding stress tests, seeing a cardiologist? When does that come into play?
So, Earl, exactly. I mean, you said it right. First of all, if you have been diagnosed with any medical condition or any cardiovascular risk factor, you must take your medicines to reduce the risk of heart attacks, strokes, and so forth. So my recommendation, of course, it is to follow as a healthy lifestyle as possible. I know sometimes that is difficult, but, you know, just exercising and eating healthy, that goes a long, long way in terms of cardiovascular health and health overall. Now, some people are born with, you know, certain genes and risk factors that require attention at earlier ages. And I think it is also very, very important to take a look at our blood pressure and our cholesterol levels fairly early in life. And, you know, some people say still in childhood, but I would say they're definitely in early adulthood. So my recommendation is know your numbers. And the two numbers that you must know is your blood pressure and your cholesterol. And if they are elevated, they must be treated. Because by treating your very high cholesterol or your high blood pressure, you really reduce your risk, again, of heart attacks, strokes, and other vascular problems. And the, again, the other two recommendations I go back, it's exercise often. The American Heart Association recommends at least 4 sessions of 40 minutes each per week. So about 150, 160 minutes of cardiovascular exercise, moderate to intense, to reduce your risk of cardiovascular events. And as I pointed out, just learn a little bit about your diet, you know, just smaller portions, healthy meals, include your vegetables, include your fruits, you can include your protein, lean protein. And, you know, I think processed foods and processed carbohydrates particularly have caused a lot of damage to our society. So try to stay as much as possible away from processed foods and cheap carbohydrates.
You know, you said 4 sessions of 40 minutes. Is that predicated on your age? As we get older, it's still, or it does not matter?
No, it really doesn't matter. Those studies that have to do with exercise have done, you know, younger adults and just to continue with those sessions throughout your life, and that will make your heart stronger. Actually, again, my recommendation, of course, for those that are not used to exercise, is not to go out there and start running, you know, 40 minutes 4 times per week. That may not be very wise. You know, have a lot of common sense when doing these sort of things. And you can, it's not really where you start, but where you finish. So if you need to start slow, walking, brisk walks, 5-10 minutes, and start increasing those times from 5 minutes, eventually to 40-minute sessions of moderate to intensive exercise 4 times a week. That's what you want to do. And another thing, of course, I haven't mentioned, Earl, but I think that's a you know, no-brainer, is what we must stay away from tobacco products, right? Fortunately, well, in general, over the last many decades, I think we have done a good job in reducing the use of you know, tobacco, cigarettes, cigars, etc. In our population, but still I think there is much more that needs to be done. And that, you know, as I was pointing out, the exercise, the eating healthy, the cholesterol and the blood pressure, well, absolutely, we must not use tobacco products, because that really increases your risk of all sorts of health-related matters, cancer, strokes, heart attacks, and so forth.
If you're just joining us, I'm joined by Dr. Jorge Sicedo. He is the Director of Heart and Vascular Services for Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin Healing Network. And, you know, he's here because, for whatever reason, people are more susceptible to heart attacks between December 25th and January 1st. You mentioned tobacco products. Does that include marijuana?
Well, a good point. Yeah, you know, I actually had the privilege of writing a review article with many members, a selected group of, you know, within the American Heart Association, that was published about the cardiovascular effects of marijuana. And I think there is still a lot that we are learning from marijuana. And, you know, first of all, any product that burns that we inhale is just bad for our lungs in general, right? So that's without saying. But there are also, you know, matters with the use of marijuana-related products that may increase, you know, the number of palpitations and arrhythmias that we have in our heart, and other matters, atrial fibrillation and so forth. So we have not, when putting together the potential benefits in people that may have, let's say, terminal cancer or other matters that are using marijuana for medicinal purposes, I mean, those things need to be definitely discussed with patient's physician, because there may be an upside for certain patients. But the general recommendation is that the use of marijuana or marijuana-related products actually may affect the heart as well in a different way than tobacco products. But it is not something that we recommend its regular use.
Dr. Cecito, so if once a person has a heart attack,
yes,
their life changes forever. So it's not something that you really want to have to go through. So what we should be doing is certainly doing everything within our power to prevent it from happening and not have to be on the other side of it. Is it safe to say that, sir?
That's right. That's what I wanted to spend more time on, prevention than on treatment.
Yes.
We are doing great, fortunately, right? If somebody develops a heart attack, as I pointed out, you know, severe chest pressure, they cannot breathe, neck discomfort, jaw discomfort, upper back, you know, and people that realize that they were able to walk certain amount of, you know, feet, and now they cannot because they're short of breath. That's also a manifestation of blockages in someone's heart. If somebody's having a heart attack, you recognize those symptoms, or a stroke, right? I think it is very important also to recognize strokes early. You come to the hospital and we can take care of that heart attack and increase your dramatic chances of survival and having more or less a normal life after a heart attack, if the heart attack is dealt with
immediately, early. Right?
So if somebody develops chest pain, you know, and these other symptoms that I was mentioning, come to the hospital, they're having a major heart attack, we go to what we call the catheterization laboratories to do some plumbing. So we put, you know, catheters inside of the heart, clean up the artery, clean up the clot, and that saves the heart from dying. Same with the brain, there's this clot, you know, somebody's having a stroke, we go get the clot out and we prevent brain tissue from dying. And that is very, very, very important on terms of improving the chance of someone to having, reducing, you know, neurological deficit or cardiovascular, cardiac-related matters like heart failure, et cetera, after a heart attack. So, then it comes what we call secondary prevention. Once you had a heart attack, you are definitely at a high risk of developing another heart attack. So we are way more aggressive in reducing the risk of someone who has had a heart attack than in someone who hasn't, that, you know, doesn't smoke, has normal cholesterol, etc. So if someone has had a heart attack, then we really work very hard in bringing the cholesterol to very, very low numbers, the bad cholesterol, to really control the blood pressure very aggressively, to ensure the same things, the exercise, the eating healthy. But in order to prevent another heart attack, we need to be more aggressive in managing these risk factors. So I am with you, Earl. I think it's much better to prevent than to treat or prevent a second heart attack, right? Becomes a little harder.
You know, Doc, I have to tell you, I keep saying I'm 70 years old. And I say that because in my mind and physically, I don't feel 70. Yeah. And so when I go out, if it's shoveling snow, if it's blowing snow, whatever it is, I've always been used to being active and moving. In my mind, it's like, hey man, I don't feel 70. But But I am, right? And so I've got to be more cognizant of the fact that I'm not that 45-year-old strapping buck that I used to be. But in my mind, it leads me to believe that. But I've learned over the last 10, 15 years or so that, man, I've got to do all that I can to not wind up with those kinds of serious health issues, because it's so much more difficult to overcome as we age.
Yeah, agree. Investing a little bit of time and a little bit on, you know, effort on our health just brings tremendous, you know, benefits in terms of quality of life. Not only improving the, you know, the number of years that your chance of living a longer life, which everybody wants, but I think we are all more interested in
quality.
In living high quality, yes. A high quality life, right? And if we don't invest a little bit on that, you know, the problem is that, you know, chances of these strokes and having been incapacitated neurologically or having a heart attack and then having the heart failure symptoms, et cetera, that doesn't become fun, right? So it is, again, not only about the quantity of life, but the quality of life that we want to live, and just really small investments in our health, small investments in our health over a long period of time will bring tremendous benefits.
So I'm joined by Dr. Jorge Sicedo. He is the director of Heart and Vascular Services for Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin and Healing Network. And I will say, as we continue this conversation, 855-752-4842. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I am so happy to be joined by Dr. Jorge Sicedo. He is the Director of Health and Vascular Services for Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin Healing Network. So, Dr. Sicedo, are men more apt or more likely to have heart attacks than women?
The difference is only on the age, Earl. You could say that men have cardiovascular problems about a decade before women do. A number of issues related to our habits, our hormones, and the way we're made, right? But women have as many cardiovascular problems as we do, or more, if you adjust for age, you know, if you just give them another decade. It's interesting because, you know, women die more of cardiovascular causes than of cancer. If you put all the types of cancer together, you know, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, all sorts of cancer together, lung and colon and whatnot, and if you put cardiovascular issues, women die more of cardiovascular problems than of cancer. So actually, a little girl would have about an 11-fold greater chances of having a cardiovascular event than dying of breast cancer. It doesn't mean that we should not be, you know, preventing and screening and, you know, for cancer and so forth. But the answer to your question is as many women as men die of cardiovascular issues. Cardiovascular problems are the number one cause of death, both in men and in women, but usually, again, it manifests just a few years later, about a decade later, than in men, generally speaking.
You know, doctor, I would say that, you know, in doing radio, I always say the real purpose of it, from my perspective, is to have and get information like this conversation you and I are having out to the community. Because, you know, we could talk about a million different things. I could talk about a million different things, but none, I think, as important as a discussion that you and I are having this morning. And I want to invite you back because I think it's so critically important. As time goes on and the information that you guys are learning and gathering and the times that we live in, a lot of these things can be prevented more than they could 30, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, because of the technology and the advancement of the knowledge you have. Is it safe to say that, sir?
Yes, sir. You know, you mentioned technology. The chances of us surviving a heart attack today are much greater than years ago. The chances of us living many more years, thanks to great medications, thanks to, again, drug discovery, etc., much greater now than years ago. You know, just about 30 years ago, we didn't have really drugs to treat heart failure. Now we have, you know, fantastic medications that prolong the life of people with heart failure. And I can go on and on, you know, with blood thinners and so forth. So I think we live in the best of times. And we are lucky that many of us, although not all, and we need to continue to work towards providing healthcare to those that do not have access to healthcare, right? Because that's what differentiates, you know, how people do as well in terms of surviving. You probably know, Earl, that depending on the zip code that you may live.
Absolutely.
There may be as many as 15, 20 years of difference on your life expectancy. And a lot of that has to do with, yes, social issues and so forth, but also access to healthcare. So I think much needs to be done in general to ensure the access to good care to all of our population, which in turn will lead to better prevention and better treatment of disease to ensure that all of us, not some of us, but all of us have access to that innovation, that technology that has been developed over the last many years.
So I'm going to try to squeeze Tom quickly.
Good morning, Earl. It wasn't a plumbing issue with my heart. When I was 39 years old, I had an electrical problem with my heart. And that's why I remind anybody, if you start having palpitations, if you start having arrhythmias, go to the emergency room like I did. That's why I'm alive today. There is a difference between having a, I've worked out my whole life and I'm in great shape. But the thing is, the electro part of it is a totally different animal.
Hey, Tom, I wish we had more time, but thank you. So let me say this to you, Dr. Cicito. I want to invite you back because there's so much grounds that we need to cover as it relates to this. So if I extend the invitation to you, can we get you back on sometime in the near future?
It will be my pleasure, Earl. Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Doctor. Really appreciate it. Keep up the good work. Up next, I'm going to be joined by Alan Borsak from Marquette University Law School, a renowned Milwaukee Journal Sentinel education reporter. Thank you very much, Dr. Cicito. Have a great new year. You're tuned in to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
I don't want no Motown. I wanna dance. Oh yeah. I'm sure enough grooving now, y'all. Look at me. Oh yeah.
I just can't stop dancing.
No, no.
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.